Appreciate the prayer that's been offered tonight and ask an interest in your prayers as we stand before you. I'm not sure, but what's on my heart tonight may be for me as much as anyone else. As we go through the challenges that we're facing and as we see the different situations that it puts many others in that's around us and see our loved ones and things that they're having to deal with. It's a very familiar, I hope it's a familiar verse of scripture you'll find in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. I want to deal primarily with one verse of scripture, but I'm going to read several. Isaiah 41, beginning in verse 10. God is giving words of assurance to his people. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." Now, as New Testament Israel, we can find a lot of comfort in those words. Because the Lord has said, he's the one that would help us. What a blessing that is tonight. That we know that even though this was written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago, God is still the same tonight. He's still just as able to keep his promises. He's still just as able to bless and provide for his people as he was then. And so as we notice this verse of scripture, now notice he made this tremendous promise to his people. And then in the succeeding verses then, he spoke about what the result would be. But I want to deal with that verse 10. Because there's some things there that we could very easily just pass over quickly without really and truly laying these things to heart and understanding the extent of what God is promising for us in these words. So in verse 10, Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not." You know, there's a lot of places in Scripture where he says, "Fear not." But here he says, "Fear thou not." So I want you to take this personally. I want you to realize that God was speaking directly to his people with a desire to encourage them. So he says, "Fear thou not." Not just "fear not." It's so easy for us to, we encounter one of those scriptures where it says, "Fear not," and go on and read. But no, he says, "Fear thou not." In other words, it's like saying, "Fear not, Kenneth." "Fear not, Elaine." "Fear not, Nancy." "Fear not. You fear not." Let's take this personally. Let's pause and realize the scriptures are written for us. God's making a promise to us. Don't you think this applies tonight? Just as much to us spiritually as it did to them in natural ways? Israel faced many enemies. There were many times that God delivered them. But these things were written Romans 15:4, he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So what God has promised, and the way he promised, and the surety of those promises that he's made in times past, in a general sense to his people, they apply just as much to us tonight. And you know what? I need that. I need to be reminded of those promises tonight. I'm going to need to be reminded of those promises tomorrow. Because whenever I face one of these frustrating situations that we're in right now, I need to remember, God's made us some promises. He's not left us alone. He's not left us without help. He's not left us without what he has said that he would do for us. So fear thou not. Okay? He goes on. Why? You know, I could tell you to fear not. It might help you and it might not. You know, I mean, if I were to say something like, fear not, I'll protect you from this virus. I don't think that'd be very comforting. Because there's not anything I can do about that. Oh, we can all practice our distancing and we can all practice good hygiene and those kinds of things. But how are you going to protect somebody from something you don't even see? You don't even know if it's there or not. But what about God? When God says, fear not, now that makes all the difference in the world. That makes all the difference in the world because God is able to take care of us no matter what the situation, no matter what the problem, no matter what the time, no matter what's needed, he can do it. And he's faithful to his promises. All right? So he says, fear thou not. For I am with thee. That brings to mind Romans chapter 8, right? If God be for us, who can be against us? Because he's able to take care of it. Also, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He watches over. He knows. He knows what we need, and he's able to provide it. All right? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I want to pause right there. That seems to be, now, of course, obviously, if you hadn't listened or taken heed, or if we don't take heed to the first part of this, then we're going to miss out as well. But he says, be not dismayed. You know, I wrote down a definition for what's under consideration here. Listen to this, just by way of a definition for that word dismayed. You know what it means. But let's just elaborate a little bit on the meaning of it. To break down the courage completely. As by sudden danger or trouble, dishearten thoroughly. You ever been there? To daunt, to place some, or for someone to be with no hope, and to feel helpless, dismayed. God says, be not dismayed. Now, again, if I were to say something like that, you might or might not feel better. But God is telling us not to be dismayed, not to be hopeless, not to lose courage. What happens when we lose courage? You know, that weakens us, doesn't it? By the way, when Moses passed the scene of this life and God called Joshua, do you remember what God told to Joshua? What's that? Yeah. Be strong. See, when we're fearful, we're weak. When we're fearful, what kind of a witness are we providing to others? You know, during this time, I'm very concerned about how God's people respond. How we, the kind of witness that we provide to others while we're going through these trying times. I'm sure we all have some conflict within us as far as, you know, just what's necessary and what's not. And we're having to listen to some folks and we're having to not do some things that we wish we could. And it's easy to get dismayed. It's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to get angry. But just like God told Joshua, I mean, just right off the bat, so to speak, be of good courage. It was needful, wasn't it? I mean, if he's going to lead the people of Israel, then he himself needs some courage. What happens when your leadership is afraid? So we don't want to be fearful and get dismayed and lose heart. By the way, I mentioned Joshua. How about Gideon? Now, Gideon's a little different. But do you remember in Judges chapter 6, as the discussion brings in Gideon into the picture? Do you remember how the angel visited him and how that angel addressed him? Do you remember that? Do you remember how the angel addressed Gideon? He called him a mighty man of valor. Now, he's not being facetious. And Gideon doesn't see himself as a mighty man of valor. As a matter of fact, if anything, what you'll find Gideon doing is making some excuses. And then when the angel told him what he was supposed to do, then he wanted some tests. And then he wanted another test. So what I'm pointing out here is we find that when it came down to it, Gideon was blessed to do what God told him to do with the Lord's help. Matter of fact, with the Lord's enabling. Because it certainly wasn't Gideon by himself, was it? But bless your hearts, God blessed. And that's what we're saying here. If God has something for us to do, he will enable us. He will provide. He will help us. And he's telling Israel, and he's telling us tonight, don't be dismayed. The reason that we might get discouraged, the reason that we might get dismayed, is that we aren't able to do very much. But God is. God is able to do his will. God is able to enable us. God is able to help us. And so when we stop and think about what he's saying here, all of what he's saying here is don't trust yourself, look to me. Now let me ask you a question. Do we ever have the tendency to trust in ourselves instead of God? I'm afraid so. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know, and that's the warning here. Let's try to remember to trust God through this difficult time. Let's try to remember to put our confidence in the Lord and not in ourselves. You've got reason to be dismayed. You've got reason to be fearful if we're having to depend upon our own strength. But bless your hearts, if we're trusting in the Lord, then we can with confidence know that as he loves us as he knows what we're going through, as he knows what we need, he is well able to supply it, and he loves us so much that he's willing to do for us. And so that's where our help is. That's where our confidence is. That's where our courage is in the Lord. So he says, be not dismayed. He goes on with reasons why. He says, for I am thy God. I am thy God. That's where our confidence is. That's where the power is. That's where the wisdom is. That's where the greatest love is. Our God. Our God is our creator. He's our sustainer. He's our provider. He's our shield, our defense. All that we need is in him. I am thy God. You know, elsewhere, I believe it's in this chapter, he tells them, you know, you don't have to fear the gods of the Amorites and those others in the land. You don't have to fear that. They're just false gods anyway, aren't they? But our God is the true and living God. He's the one who always has been, always will be. He's the one who is sovereign over his creation. And if he tells us, fear not, bless your hearts, we're on safe ground. Fear not. Now, Jesus, you know, balanced that by telling us, now listen, in the world you're going to have tribulation. So we're going to have challenges. We're going to have some struggles here in this life. But bless your hearts, Jesus went on to say, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so when we stop and think about what we have in the Lord, what we have by his grace, what we have by his mercy, by the provision of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and died to redeem us from our sins, the greatest expression of love that we have in Scripture, where Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and then he went on to prove it. He went to the cross. He laid down his life for us. But he also said at the next verse there, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So if we want to walk in fellowship with him, following closely with him, and bless your hearts, we can trust him for the things we stand in need of. For I am thy God. I am. He's present. Always present. Always will be present. The I am. Oh, as we think about God making that promise to Israel, and it applies just as much to us tonight. All right. I am thy God. You know, I think not long ago here we talked about John 14, where Jesus said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now, even though we didn't have that, the fullness of that truth, like we understand it now in the Old Testament, is God's love any different in the Old Testament? Is it any less? No. God loves his people. We just find that the greatest expression of his love was when he gave his Son. And we were blessed to understand, just try to understand at least, just how much more there is to know about the love of God now that he's sent the Lord Jesus into the world. How much better that is. That God is a loving God. Matter of fact, in 1 John, we find that it says that God is love. Now, he's a whole lot more than that, but he is love. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? You know, there's a whole lot of people on this planet who's in a religion that never once does the writings about their God say that he's a loving God. Aren't you thankful tonight that God is love? And that John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world. And we understand he's talking about the world of his people. For God so loved the world that he offered Jesus? No. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his Son, and Jesus himself said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so as we think about, he is love, and he's shown us that great love by sending us his Son who suffered and died as a substitute to pay our sin debt. Oh, as we think about the great love that he has for us, and the more we understand and the more we appreciate the love that he has for us, then the more confidence we can have in these promises that he loves us so much. Yes, we'll have tribulation in this world. Yes, we'll meet with things in life that sometimes will take us off guard. But what God has provided for us, we are safe in the blood of Jesus. We're safe in him. You know, calamities do happen. Tragedies happen in this world. But if we're blessed to know what we have in Christ and who we are in Christ and what we have by the grace of God, then even if something were to snuff out our life in an instant here, then immediately we would awaken the presence of God to behold his face. Oh, as we think about what we have. And so the God of all grace, the God of all power, tells us, fear not, for I am thy God. I tell you, that ought to give us some comfort tonight. That ought to give us some encouragement tonight. That whatever we're facing, whatever frustrations or whatever situation we find ourselves in, the Lord said, I'll be with you. All right? So he went on, let's see, he says, fear not, I am with thee. Something else I didn't mention while we were there, that I am with thee, he says. In the Old Testament, we have this promise in many ways. God promised to be with his people. We find that when the children of Israel were led out of, or delivered out of Egypt, the presence of God was seen by that pillar of a cloud by day, right? And a pillar of fire by night. So as they were out and defenseless in the desert, God's presence was right there with them. Don't you know that was a comfort to them? To know that his presence was there leading them. When that cloud would move, they were to move. And when that cloud stopped, they were to stop. But it showed them God's presence was with them. Now, in the New Testament, before Jesus went to the cross, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. Right? As a matter of fact, he said, I will come to you. He's talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for that is the Paraclete, if I'm saying that correctly. And what it means, one that will come alongside and render aid. So just like in the Old Testament where God said, I will be with thee, Jesus has told us, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so when we feel the presence of his Holy Spirit, it's just as if Jesus is right there. Because he said, I will come to you. Isn't that comforting? That's what it's intended to be. Now, we might forget about that. We might take our eyes off of him, and we might be caught up in our present circumstances, and we might forget about that for a while, but we'll be better off if we'll remember God has promised he will be with us. And even as we said that Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. My reference in my Bible says that when he says comfortless, he means he would not leave us as orphans. You know, think about that. An orphan in this life, without somebody to look after them, without somebody to provide for them, without somebody to protect them, without somebody to love them and to provide whatever they need. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you that way. And we have that promise that we can hold on to every day. I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm sure that there was some special application to those apostles in those days ahead when they were going to meet with the opposition against the Jewish leaders and things like that. But it still applies to us today. It still applies to us just as much today. He promised he would not leave us comfortless. He said, I will come to you. All right? So he says, for I am thy God. Well, it gets better than that. Now, not that there's anything better than our God, but he says, I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. How many times do we face things that we feel like, Lord, I can't handle this? I'm sure you've been there. And if you haven't, wait around. You will be. That's just the way life is. But he says, part of this promise is, as he unfolds even more details about it, he says, I will strengthen thee. Now just think about that. The next time that you're tempted to say, Lord, I'm weak, I can't handle this, we've got this promise, don't we? He says, I will strengthen thee. And quite often, if we were honest about the situation, quite often we're not able to handle many things. But he's promised he will strengthen us. He says, not only that, but he goes on to say, I will help thee. So he says, I'll be with thee. Don't be dismayed. I'm thy God. I'll strengthen thee. I will help thee. You know, I'm sure that each of us at some point in our lives has told somebody, if you need some help, just call. And if it's within our ability, then I'm sure that we were honest about and sincere about offering our help. But I'll tell you something, there's times when we don't know what to do. And there's situations that arise sometimes that we're not able to do anything. But not so with God. He could do all things that's according to his will. So he says, I'll help thee. And I'm going to tell you something. The help that God provides is exactly right. You know, we may try to help somebody sometimes and what ends up, it's not really help because we didn't do what they needed. God doesn't do that way. He knows perfectly what the needs are. He's able to supply that need. He knows how, when, where, all that's needed. He knows to provide the help that we need. And so he says, I will help thee. Yea, he says, I will uphold thee. Now, if you stop and think about what he's saying there, that's going to get the job done. Okay? We may come short. We, you know, like I've already said, we may not provide what is needed. We may come short. We may, in so many ways, we may not be able to do what's needed. But he says, I will uphold thee. That's a promise that it will take us through whatever the situation is that we're facing. I will uphold thee. All right? And he says, how? I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand of my righteousness. As we stop and think about God and his faithfulness, see, he does what's right. And so sometimes righteousness speaks of right ways. And certainly all the ways of God are right ways. Okay? Even Abraham said, will not the God of all the earth do right? He knew that. God does what's right. But you know, when he talks about the hand, the right hand of his righteousness, and that brings to mind the Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Bless your hearts, he is at the right hand of God, even as we speak tonight. When he finished the work the Father sent him to do, when he rose from the dead, when he ascended back into heaven, he was seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Elsewhere in Hebrews it says, the right hand of the throne of God. In the book of Acts, I think five times it speaks about that. Talks about how that he, at his right hand. And so when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to do the Father's will, altogether righteous. There was no sin about him. He wasn't even born of Joseph. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. There was no sin about him. Neither was any guile found in his mouth, as Peter said. The book of Hebrews says he's holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. So as we think about how that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world and accomplished not only in the salvation, the eternal salvation, but bless your hearts, what we've already spoken about of how he has promised he would not leave us nor forsake us. So as we think about in Psalm 98, verse 1, listen to what he says. O, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. So we find that God has always been victorious in his battles, but especially in sending his son to this world to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins. That's the greatest battle that was ever fought. Bless your hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then what does he do after that verse? What does the Spirit lead Paul to write for us? Be ye steadfast. See, he takes that wonderful truth that we're safe, that we have the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that we have in Christ. There's every reason in the world for us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, as we think about what we have in him, So when we think about then what he has said in this verse and the security that we have in him, you know, like going over to John chapter 10, when Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's what I'm after right there. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're safe in him. He says, my Father which gave them is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I tell you, if we've got that kind of safety and eternal security, don't you know that he's interested in taking care of us on a daily basis? My desire tonight is to impress upon your mind and your heart, I hope, that when God makes these promises, certainly he does not make them lightly, and neither should we take them lightly, but lay it to heart and realize that God has written these things not only for our learning, but for our comfort, for our instruction. Paul would write to Timothy saying, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so these things are written for our comfort. They're written for our instruction, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. If we're dismayed, we've lost hope. If we're dismayed, we become fearful. We feel like that we've lost the situation. Bless your hearts, when we remember that God has promised to take care of us. He's promised to be with us. He tells us not to be fearful. Now that's that takes some experience, doesn't it? Because it's one thing just to say, don't be fearful. It's another for us to lay to heart the very reasons why we should obey that command. To understand God is able. Nothing escapes his watchful eye. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Nothing is even a trial for the Lord. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere he wants to be. You know, sometimes we talk about his omnipresence as if he's everywhere. I appreciate what Elder Marty Smith, the way he puts that, is that he's everywhere he wants to be. I'll go that far with it. Bless your hearts as we think about. He says, fear thou not. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He wants each one of us to pause and consider the great blessing we have with his watchful care and safekeeping. So let me read this again in closing. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That's the reason. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Bless your hearts. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. He's the righteous God. He not only purposes to keep it, he's able to keep it. We can trust that. And I pray that I've stirred your mind. I pray I've stirred your heart tonight, that we might pause and consider. This is just one small passage, and there's hundreds of places where God reminds us of his love for us, of his ability to keep us. And he tells us to fear not. I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. That's a powerful promise. May God help us to lay it to heart and find the comfort that we need in it. May God bless you, is our prayer.